Today is Testimony Sabbath, and I'm eager to hear how God has been dealing with you and living through you. Or struggles that you might be having. I'll try and keep my remarks short, so give you plenty of time. You know, Revelation 1:3 says that there's a blessing for those who read and for those who hear the words of this book. That's talking about Revelation, but I think of when I think of hearing nowadays, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I have earbuds and I'm listening to sermons or I'm listening to Bible reading and things like that. You can be doing all kinds of other things. I don't know if that counts as the blessing, because what I think was meant, was pictured, was somebody speaking and a group listening. And they would all be blessed by the book of Revelation, by hearing, and they're paying attention to that. But today, when we're doing six other things while we're listening to this, it's a little bit harder to internalize and gain the full blessing. And so when I was doing this Bible reading in a year, I determined I was only going to read. I wasn't going to listen, because, you know, you could go through a whole bunch of chapters by listening and then realize, hey, did I hear those? You know, did they become a part of me? And so I was really determined just to read. But I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, I actually was listening in Isaiah, and I keep, you know, backing up, you know, because I'm listening, I'm doing some other stuff, I'm trying to pay attention. Oh, I realize, oh, I think I've missed the last two chapters, you know, and I go back because I want to make sure I don't miss anything. But when I got to chapter 58, man, chapter 58, I just kept going back and stopping, going back and stopping. And so finally, I just put it on repeat, and I just listened to chapter 58 like all day long. All day long, I thought, surely I'm going to understand this. I'm going to internalize it after hearing it all day long. I don't know how many times I heard it, but it was a lot. But it really captured my imagination. I really loved the message in it. And so later, when I was able to pull out my Bible, and Roberta, who's visited us a few times here, she loaned me a study Bible that had some Ellen White helps, and was it Hebrew and Greek? I forget what you call that. Anyway, so rather than having to go look everything up, I had a lot of resources right there. Well, in Isaiah 58, there's like two pages of notes in there, which is really unusual, because usually there'd be just a little at the bottom, if anything. But that's in this particular chapter, it was really a lot of information. So you guys are probably all really aware of Isaiah 58. And so then I went to, got out my, I always confuse concordance with commentary. Anyway, the big green book. And I pulled that out, and it turns out I counted 147 references that she made to Isaiah 58. See, we don't have me up on the screen yet. Do I need to do something? Anyway, 147 references, and that's a lot. I kind of flipped through looking for other chapters, how many references there were, and I saw, no, 147 really is a lot. Thank you. All I had to do was exactly what he told me to do half an hour ago. So, thank you, Jay. Anyway, before I read the chapter to you, I'd like to share some of her quotes. It's hard just to pick a few, but I've really greatly edited them for brevity. It's the 58th chapter of Isaiah contains present truth for the people of God. Here we see how medical missionary work and the gospel ministry are to be bound together as the message is given to the world. Oh, if all who have a knowledge of the truth would only obey the teaching of this truth, why is it that men standing on the very threshold of the eternal world are so blinded? They do not make the most of the opportunities granted them. The leprosy of selfishness has taken hold of the church. The remedy is found in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. That's kind of harsh. We'll have to decide whether these words apply to us or not. Here's another one. You can succeed in revealing the truths of the third angel's message. This will not be done merely by preaching the word, but by the deeds of loving ministry. It makes me think of Christ's method alone, you know, getting to know people. I've been instructed to refer our people to the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Read this chapter carefully and understand the kind of ministry that will bring life into the churches. Christ has shown us the methods which Sabbath keepers are to follow in their work. These are plainly specified in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. If you will take heed to the words of warning found in the chapters that I am directed to present before you, you will change your attitude and become children of God. You will receive the counsel given in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Just kind of over and over. I like this one, though. It says, read Isaiah 58. Ye who claim to be children of the light, especially do you read it again and again, who have felt so reluctant to inconvenience yourself by favoring the needy. You whose hearts and houses are too narrow to make a home for the homeless, read it. You who can see orphans and widows oppressed by the iron hand of poverty, read it. Are you afraid that an influence will be introduced into your family that will cost you more labor? Read it. Your fears may be groundless and a blessing may come. It is not the abundance of your meeting that God accepts. It is not the numerous prayers, but the right doing. Doing the right thing at the right time. Here's one. Please read the 58th chapter of Isaiah. I don't want to wear you out with these, but here's another one. And in fact, I remember a sermon one time that somebody gave. I don't remember what book I read it in. You guys will probably remember where somebody gave this message, and he came up to Ellen White afterwards and said, you know, he had quoted her extensively throughout his sermon, and he said, you know, what'd you think of my message? She said, I think you ought to read the Bible and preach the Bible. So, but anyway, I thought of that when I, when I was putting all these out here for you. Here's one. The chapter that defines our work, the whole of the 58th chapter of Isaiah, is to be regarded as a message for this time to be given over and over again. All right, so let's see what Isaiah actually has to say. I realize it sounds pretty critical. Well, then it is criticism of God's people, but there's more words devoted to God's promises to us than criticism of us. Actually, I was going to count them to make sure that was right, but I think that's right. I've heard some say it's depressing to read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Lamentations, three books in a row where God's people were a constant disappointment. But the fact that God was always willing to help them out of the ditch should be encouraging. But yeah, they sure were disappointing. Surely we are not like them. Just for the record, and not that it counts for anything, but I think you're awesome. I love you guys. So Isaiah 58 is actually encouraging, and if you'll hang in there with me for a minute, maybe maybe we'll see it together. I'll read the NIV just to make it easy, but I encourage you to read other versions later. And I'll just read the version at the verse 11, I think. And it was titled True Fasting. This is God speaking through Isaiah. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. And then Israel is saying back, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? God says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for one bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Pretty sure that means your family. And then here's the promise. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Thank you, Haven, for reading that. It's a beautiful promise. God is willing to correct us and bring us into harmony with him. So often people think of God as arbitrary and mean. I wonder where that idea comes from, or I should say, I wonder who that idea comes from. I guess we know. Here are people really messing up, trying to act religious while mistreating those around them. Maybe we can hide our behaviors from each other, but we stand no chance of keeping our true character a secret from God, do we? How would we make this change in behavior? We need a heart transplant. It's also curious to me that the promise is placed really in the middle of the section telling us what kind of fast God desires. I wondered about that. I know the promise is conditional, but we don't seem to have gotten clear to the end, and yet he's giving us the blessing. You know what I'm saying? So there's more to this. It continues on and it says, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Isn't that interesting? You know, you see these people and the way they're first presented, you think, those are not good people, you know. And yet here in the end, he's saying, this is what I'm offering you. And it's so beautiful. So the chapter contrasts hypocritical fasts with true acts of devotion. I don't remember where I read it said that God doesn't want your pain. He wants your heart. So he doesn't want your pain and fasting. He wants your devotion. The people complain that God didn't see and appreciate their fasting. Why do you suppose they did that kind of a fast? Was it a negotiation? You know, were they thinking, hey, God, I'll do this so you can, you know, now you can pay me for being miserable, like flagellating themselves, is that the right word? To somehow gain God's favor, climbing steps on their knees, punishing themselves. It makes me think of Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Or Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Also, Jesus said that to the Pharisees, according to Matthew 9:13. Isaiah denounced empty religious sanctimony. His cry was against false worship. There, people were following all the religious motions and mechanics of worship, but their actions were empty ritual because their motives were impure. They wanted to impress God with their fasting while mistreating, fighting, and cheating each other. I don't think they impressed God much. As we learned this week in Sabbath School lesson, holiness is possible only in union with Christ. We haven't really talked about the beauty of fasting. This chapter refers to fasting more than any other chapter in the Bible, but yet instruction on a food fast hasn't been a part of it, really. I know that fasting is biblical. I don't know where we're instructed to fast, but I know that fasts are mentioned frequently in the Bible. Think of Joel 2:12 and 13. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. If you're not experiencing the blessing God promised, ask God to reveal what's holding you back. Story of Esther, Jonah, and Nineveh, John the Baptist, disciples asking Jesus why his disciples didn't fast. Those are all places where a fast mentioned, but again, I don't see any specific direction to fast. Reading from volume 2 of the testimonies, if you engage in this work of mercy and love, will the work prove too hard for you? Will you fail and be crushed under the burden? And your family be deprived of your assistance and influence? Oh no. God has removed all doubts upon this question by a pledge to you on condition of your obedience. This promise covers all that the most exacting, the most hesitating could crave. Here's the first. Oh, that's not the right. Oh, I guess did I skip that? I guess I've skipped a couple of them. All right. Anyway, this is where I wanted to be. So she says, oh no, he'll take care of you. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. Then she goes on to say, only believe that he is faithful that is promised. God can renew the physical strength and more. He says he will do it, and the promise does not end here. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That means the rear guard. Obsolete term, I guess. God will build a fortification around thee. And that's what that's saying, that God will build a fortress around you. And it doesn't even stop here. She says, verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you put down oppression and remove the speaking of vanity, if you draw out your soul to the hungry, verse 10 to 11 says, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Finally, in a letter, 1898, she said, the counsel is explicit. I have no fears of workers who are engaged in the work represented in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter is explicit, and it is enough to enlighten anyone who wishes to do the will of God. There is plenty of opportunity for everyone to be a blessing to humanity. She goes on to say, the third angel's message is not to be given a second place in the work, but is to be one with it. There may be, and there is, a danger of burying up the great principles of truth when doing the work that is right to do. The work is to be to the message what the hand is to the body. The spiritual necessities of the soul are to be kept prominent. That's why they call medical missionary work the right arm of the gospel. And as Seventh-day Adventists, we recognize the importance of ministering to the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Is there anything holding you back? Don't give up. God is eager to help you through these last days, and he's eager to recruit you for his work outlined here in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Share with us now if there's something that you need to do differently in your life. There's something that you need us to pray for you over. Let's open ourselves to each other. We're supposed to be pressing together as a church family. It's part of what we hope to accomplish with the visitation that we're doing. Step out of your comfort zone. Be bold for the Lord. Be willing to call for the offering, for example, when we ask. Have you got a story about the benefits of fasting, about the medical missionary work, or about sharing the gospel? Why don't you come forward now and share your testimonies of what God's doing with you and through you and for you right now. So go ahead and come on up here to the front and to line up. I will bring the microphone to you if I need to, and we'll limit our testimonies to 5 minutes, and come on down. Somebody be first to start, please. Be sure to introduce yourself.
I'm Tarlene with the T, Tarlene Barfield. And I would like to tell you of a testimony. It's amazing how God speaks to us to speak to other people. I have a friend, some of you guys know him. His name is Lou. And he was with us for a short while until he left and went to California, working as a farmer on land that people are looking to prepare for the last days. Anyway, and so then he decided to leave there because the people, you know, you have to be careful too, because sometimes there are occult groups even among Seventh-day Adventists, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And so he went there. Someone told him about that place, and the lady, older in her 80s, you know, had some land, and she was setting up. She wanted people to come and help farm the land. And some people that were there, they didn't believe in the three angels. Well, they didn't believe in the three angels' message, and they didn't believe in the triune God. And anyway, so he, you know, by God's grace, tried to study the Word of God with them. But he realized he wasn't getting anywhere. So the Lord impressed upon him to get out of there as fast as he could. And so anyway.
Amen.
Last Sabbath, you know, God just impressed on me. It was like 11 o'clock at night, and it was too late for me to call him. And I said, Lou, you may want to pray and fast about, because he was wanting to leave there and go to school, to some naturopathic schools, or work on some more land. And so I said, Lou, you may want to fast and pray about going to those schools, those naturopathic schools, because a lot of the schools, the worldly schools, they are into spiritualism and by way of the New Age movement and stuff like that. And Wiccans, you know, the witchcraft or witches. And so you may want to think about that because, you know, God doesn't want you to be influenced by by those people. So you may want to think and pray about that. And so, lo and behold, the next day, I got this text message from him. He said, Charlene, the day before I was fasting and praying about the exact thing.
Wow.
And he says, about what to do. He says, and God has given you the answer for me not to go to those schools. and that's really it's amazing how God speaks to us to speak to others to keep them out of harm's way. Another thing, too, you know, I was listening to a testimony about, you know, prosperity can be very dangerous. I sent that video over to Signal to some people. And how God puts desires in our hearts to work for him. But also, God put desires in our hearts. But if we don't act on those desires, we miss the blessing. He was telling many people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, God's put desires, as Kenny was reading about helping, you know, the ministry that we're supposed to be in. And God puts desires on our heart to do things. And I realized, too, as I was listening to the testimony of this wealthy Indonesians, how God called them out of the world into his marvelous light, I realized, too, that I had thought about it. I had been in the church for so many years, and I've just had desires. For a long time, I really haven't really properly worked in the field that God has called me to. So that really woke me up to not procrastinating. So God does speak to us.
Mm. Amen.
Hello, my name is Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
I've been a Christian my whole life.
Let's get close to it.
A little closer? There we go. My name is Vicky. I've been a Christian my whole life. My mom raised me as a Christian. She taught me about God when I was not paying attention when I was little. She said, did you not hear him? That was God speaking to you. You need to listen. I'll never forget that. And when I needed him most, he's always been there for me. And I need him now more than ever.
Wow, amen.
I always need him more and more. Never seems to cease. I definitely need prayers. I'm in a situation where my rent is going up more than my income is going up. I'm on SSI for disability reasons. And right now I have the cheapest rent in town. And it's still going up to where I can't afford it anymore. So if you would, please pray for me. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And may God bless all of you.
Let's pray for you right now. Does anybody like to join us, the elders? Anybody else? Dear Father in heaven, you know Vicky's needs. You know what she's facing, what she's been through. You love her more than anything. You would have come and died if she was the only one. And Lord, I thank you for bringing her here today. And I pray that you will answer this need according to your desires. We don't know the end from the beginning, but you do, Lord, and you know just the best way. So, Lord, we pray that you will not only address the need she has, but that you will fill her with your Spirit, and she will go forth from here renewed in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for being here. Somebody else want to come up?
Can you guys hear me?
No.
Can you hear me now?
Say okay. Your name.
Okay, I was getting ready for Sabbath.
Huh? Say your name.
Introduce. I'm Susie. Okay. I was getting ready for Sabbath. You know, you're cleaning, vacuuming, putting things away, and the phone rang. And then it was my boss. And I go, oh, is it about work? Should I answer? Should I not? And you know what? She's Adventist, so I say, I'm going to answer. It's my boss anyway. So anyway, she was all stressed out. She goes, Susie, you got to help me. All day I've been looking for my keys. And my keys has the office keys, it has the house keys, it has all the keys that belong to her, you know, for everything. And she goes, I'm scared they're going to break into the office if they, you know, if they find the keys. And so she goes, I called you so you can pray with me. And I go, okay. So usually she prays, and then I just say amen, you know, so I agree with what she said. So this time something told me, you know, pray for her. So when she was done praying, I go, let me pray for you too, you know. And so I started praying, and when I was praying, she was all excited. She goes, Susie, I remember where my keys are. And she went, and they were right there. So I said, don't forget, always go to God first. You wasted your whole day, and you could have had them sooner. But anyway, we just always have to remember to go to God first because he knows everything and he wants to help us. That's
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else have something they would like to share?
Okay, my name is Sylvia. And we only have like about 5 minutes. I have a little bit more than 5 minutes to share, but I'll try to make it short. Many of you in here, my sister tells me, because I don't come to this church, and I recognize some of you, but not all of you, but they say, well, I know you, I know you. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know you. But my sister says, Sylvia, you need to come up. They want to know your testimony.
Amen. And
I go, okay, then I'll do it this time that I'm here visiting. And for those of you that don't know, I was diagnosed with cancer about a year and a half ago. And, you know, that's an ordeal when something says cancer, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the death flashes in your mind and you're like, okay, how much longer do I have, you know? And I didn't necessarily have that, how much longer do I have. I was more worried, okay, I'm sick, I'm in pain, what can I do, what's the next treatment, what's the next step? And you're so focused on what you're trying to accomplish when you're in so much pain. And I remember laying in bed once and I go, God, two things. I can no longer go on with this, so either you heal me and I can be a vessel for you, or you let me die. But if you're going to let me die, please, not in so much pain. I don't want to be in pain anymore. So if I'm going to go down, can you please make it easier? And so I remember praying that prayer. And from then on, things switched in my life. And I started feeling like I was getting a little bit better, a little bit better. The pain started going away, and I did not know anything. I mean, I was raised in the church. I grew up in an Adventist home. I grew up not just Adventist home. I grew up in a home where health and being healthy and the natural remedies were prominent. But I was born in a third world country. When I came to the States, all that went out the door, okay? I go to the store, I see all this and that, and my diet changed. And I was too young, so that went out to the sideway. And so now that I got sick, it's like, okay, now I started reading more about the health. Now, why do you always know eat your fruits and vegetables, but I'm like, okay, yeah, I know that. But now it's like, ooh, I really need to eat my fruits and vegetables. Now, that did not come from one day to the next. I just went on with my treatments. And I remember the major thing I had was nausea. It would not go away. The doctors, I have like 20 different bottles. I would tell the doctor I'm nauseous. They would send me something. I would try one. No, that did not take it away. And I'm not the type. If the first one did not work, the second one will not, and I'm not taking it. And so another one. So are you okay with the nausea? No, I'm still nauseous. Okay, another pill. Nothing. I go, nope, not taking it. And so I started losing weight. And then one time I was by myself. My other sister used to come and visit me and bring me a little bit of food, but I was nauseous, so I could barely eat anything. So one time my sister had to go far away, and I found myself alone for 4 days. I did not eat, and I knew it. Okay, God. I woke up and, okay, God, I don't have the strength, but I'm going to get the strength. I'm going to go to the grocery store and find what vegetables can I eat, because I'm so nauseous, but I need to eat something. I cannot go on like this. I know I will die. And so I got myself out of the bed. I got my strength. I was going down the stairs. I was about to open the door because this was 7 in the morning. I was about to open the door when suddenly at 6 in the morning, the doorbell rings so loud and banging on the door. And I'm like, this is weird. I go, who's going to be here at 6 in the morning? And so the only one person that could do that, it would have been my brother. But at 6 in the morning, he lives in Weimar an hour away. So I opened the door slowly, scared, because I'm like, who is here? And I opened it, and there he is. It was him! And I'm like, and he looked at me, and he's like, you should see his surprise. I couldn't see myself, but he saw me, and his face told me. He's like, what happened to you? And I go, nothing. And he's like, you lost so much weight. And I go, I know. And he's like, what are you doing in here? And I go, well, I'm on my way to the store. And he's like, for what? And he's like, I haven't eaten. I'm not hungry. I'm nauseous, but I know I need to eat. He goes, what were you thinking to eat? And I go, well, maybe broccoli, maybe some eggs, something that doesn't make me nauseous. And he's like, you sit there. I'm going to run to the store. He runs to the store. I went back to my bed. Next thing I know, he's in the kitchen cooking stuff. My brother cooking? He has a wife, okay? He won't touch anything. And he's cooking. I'm like, he's cooking? He brings me the broccoli. He brings me the eggs. And I eat it, hardly eat it, but I ate it. Anyway, so I'll make it short. He says that God is the one that sent him there. He didn't want to come. He kept on going and going. And finally the spirit says, no, you need to go to your sister's house. He says, okay, I'll go to my sister's house this early. So that's how he showed up at 6 in the morning. And there's so many things all throughout my disease that I'm like, I told my sister, if there was something I learned in this disease, several lessons, but one of them is that God is still closest to us. I go, I never felt God closer to me as when I was sick. You know, mm-hmm. That's when I realized, God, really? You're really that close to me? You really care? And even though I knew about the health message, I did not know much. But as I got healthy and I started reading, I realized, you know, the only thing that saved me is the fact that I couldn't eat. If I would have been able to eat, I probably would have not be alive. But the fasting, we're talking about fasting, I read the fasting can regenerate your cells and you get the tumors can go away. And I'm like, I went for a couple months without eating. I'm like, who knows? Maybe in that nausea, God did the miracle, you know? And the doctors would go, because I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, was already getting into my lungs. And so the doctor goes, chemotherapy. And then I go, what happens if I don't? And she's like, you have 6 months to live if you have chemotherapy. You have 4 months to live if you don't have the chemotherapy. And I go, so I'm going to die? And she's like, yeah. But what she did not know is that before I went to that appointment, I went down on my knees and I asked God, I go, God, I only ask you one favor. That if it's your will for me, I don't want to go through that, but if it's your will, please send me a doctor that is going to be easy, is not going to push me to do what I don't want, and she's going to leave me alone. That was my prayer. So when I went into the doctor's office, none of my family knew. That was only a prayer between me and God. The doctor comes in, and so she's so cheerful, and then she gives me the news, you're stage 4 cancer, so you need to have chemotherapy. And I go, what are my options? And she said, well, you don't have to have the chemotherapy. You can go live your life for 4 months the way you want it. But if you want to live longer, you can give your chemotherapy and you have, you know, maybe 10 more months. And I go, okay. And so then I go, and my sisters are all ears, you know, because they got to push me into this treatment, right? And then I go, can I have time to think about it? And she goes, yeah, you can take all the time you want. And that's God answering my prayers. That's exactly what I wanted to hear from the doctor. And so she leaves, and I go, okay. So she leaves, and I go, I told my sister, if I knew how to dance, I would stand in my room, and I would be dancing my way out of here. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why? And I'm like, I didn't tell them until there. I go, that's exactly what I was praying about. I was praying that the doctor would not push me, because I had already told God, God, I don't want to do the chemotherapy. I am not going to do the chemotherapy. It's going to be between you and me. If you want me to get healed, it's going to be between you and me. That's it. I'm not going through this thing. I'm not doing any of that. If you don't want me to die, that's just the way I'm going to go. And so I got out of there. I was so excited. And so I didn't go through the chemotherapy. I did not go through all that. I started, you know, little by little, green juices, you know, I don't talk to me about that right now because I can't stand them. But anyway, green juices. And I started reading what I needed to do. And I realized the broccoli, all the stuff that I was eating that I didn't eat before, it was really anti-cancer. It prevented all the cancer. And so I went back to my oncologist, the one that had sent me to the chemotherapy. And she goes, did you go through the chemotherapy? I know how you feel about it. And I go, no, I didn't. And so they passed another scan. They did another PET scan. And she said, there's nothing in there anymore. Uh-huh. She goes, the stuff that you had in there is not there anymore. And I'm like, I was, yes. Yes, okay, God, you did it. Thank you. And now it's like, okay, God, what's the next step? You know, what do I else need to do? What do you want me to do? You know, and, you know, I was reading one of Mrs. White's books. It says, God puts us things in our lives to prepare us so that when he has those positions ready for us, we will be ready to be there, you know? Amen. And so I don't know what God has in mind for me to do in his vineyard, but one of the miracles that I can tell you that is happening right now is me standing here. There is no way you would have me in a microphone before I got sick. Absolutely no way. And now it's like, okay, you know what? No, I need to be a witness for God. No, I need to speak on his behalf. No, I need to do this. I need to do that. And it's a pleasure. You know, it's like, wow, you don't know how many blessings you have when you do the will of God and you are in his will. And it's like, okay, God, what's the next step? So I'm waiting. What's the next step that he has for me to do, you know? And so anyway, that's my testimony, and I want to tell you, everybody, thank you for praying for me, because my sister keeps on telling me, everybody's praying, and you don't come and say thank you. And okay, so I am here to tell you thank you very much for your prayers.
Before you leave, so that's 11 minutes.
Oh.
So, but, and sometimes I am a little bit hard nose about stopping people, but I've been dying to hear your story for a year. But I've also been I was also really familiar with the things that you were telling us, and mm-hmm. I'm wondering how many of you were those stories that she was telling, were those familiar to you?
Yeah,
a lot of heads shaking here. I even learned how to spell your name. I got chastised for putting a Y in your name. Mm-hmm. And but that's in our Signal group. Mm-hmm. And so if anybody here is not a part of our Signal group and you'd like to be, we followed you through Susie's sharing, you know, uh-huh. the different updates. There were never enough updates, but yeah. to see you in person is beautiful.
Thank you. You know, there's so many little things that I can tell you. One thing, let me tell you, the nausea never really went away. I continued to be nauseous, and I couldn't understand. I thought, well, the PET scan came negative, and I'm like, why am I still nauseous? Why? And I was all the herbs and all this stuff. And then one of the herbalists came to talk to the church, and then my sister goes, you know, my sister's still nauseous. Is there something that we can take? And I even went to see Neil Nidley. I was doing everything. Neil Nidley recommended something. It still did not help. And so the herbalist told my sister, you know, if she's nauseous with whatever she eats, it's better for it to be out than to be in. And so then so she came and told me. Remember, I was still shy. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And so my sister came and told me. And so I go, okay. So next time I feel nauseous, guess what? Mm. I went right back to reverse it. And I'm like, okay, I feel better. And then I went to listen to his lecture because it was a whole weekend. So I went to listen to his lectures. And then he was saying in the lecture, he says, if you're eating too much greens or too many capsules or whatever greens, they can make you nauseous. And I'm like, oh, okay. So sometimes too much of the good thing cannot be so good, you know, and you have to know how you do it and how to do it. Now, I was doing this all by myself because the doctors wanted me to gain weight by ice cream. They told me don't eat brown bread, eat white bread. I mean, all the bad stuff, you know, and I'm like, okay. I was teasing my sisters. I go, do you guys hear ice cream and white bread? And they're looking at me kind of like, really? Is that what you're going to do? And so anyway, I went home and I told my sister, no more of these pills, no more of this green thing, no more. And the next day, guess what? The nausea started going away. Mm. Within 2-3 days, the nausea went away and I felt human again. I'm like, wow. I go, this is what it feels like to not have nausea and feel human again. And I'm horrible, but I haven't gone back to taking those pills, but I'm more into greens. Now, more vegetables, more green. And I'm reading more, and I'm like, wow. No wonder God says to eat them. Mrs. White says the simplest foods are the healthiest ones. And when you read about it, it's like, wow, you can heal yourself just by eating healthy. That's all I can tell you, because I don't want you to don't take the capsules, because they do have a benefit. You know, they have its time and place. But for me, when I stopped taking it and I started eating more of the greens and the vegetables, just raw without being in the capsule, that was it. That Amen. Was it. I feel human again.
Amen. Awesome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Does anyone else have a testimony to share? I can bring you a microphone if I need to. I'd love to have you come up. Anybody have something?
My name's Aitana. Most of you know me as Rebecca, but it's one of God's new names for me is Aitana, one who stands firm against strong forces, and considering all that I have been through over the past, just my lifetime in general, yeah. Victories are hard won. Hard fought. It's not always been easy, but I don't really share a lot, and I don't even know why. Sometimes, maybe if I'm in a small group, I will, but I don't share as I need to. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't share the burdens that you're going through, how are people going to know that they need to pray for you? If you don't use your words, how are people going to know? Yeah, God will say, hey, you need to pray for this person today. And if you're listening and you're sensitive to it, yeah, you may actually get that message and you'll pray for them. But you won't know why. So I guess I'm taking the liberty at the moment to say, yeah, do keep me in your prayers if you've never thought to. Because I've got a lot on my plate. in a very condensed, small nutshell, when I was first hit with COVID in 2021, it was pretty much an atom bomb, and I didn't realize as to how much of an atom bomb it was in my system until recently. It has absolutely destroyed me. My size at this point is actually a lot of it. Why? Because it's all inflammation. It's my body literally falling apart. There's an RNA protein within that virus. It works to attack DNA. I'm already stuck with an MTHFR mutation. It's an enzyme that goes up and down the DNA chain, repairing the DNA. I've got a mutation where I can't do that efficiently like other people can. So you combine those things together, I'm sitting duck, and it's been difficult. Now I am going through some treatment with some ivermectin that's been night and day, oh my. But there's still effects, there's still thorns in the flesh. And through that, it's not been easy to take care of the delight and the joy of a calling that God has given to me. I'm an evangelistic storyteller. If you've never heard of that, it's me. I love telling stories. I love being able to put things of the gospel, principles, and doctrine into stories that make sense. You know, Jesus was always talking in parables. There's a reason for that, because when you tell a story, it gets people's attention. And this story that I am working on is called Lover of the King's Daughter. It's an allegory of the great controversy, but within that special love relationship that God has with his people through Yada, through the knowing of his heart. And this project, I cannot tell you how much I have been struck by the enemy because of working on it, the things that I have pulled out of it, the things I have discovered, the depth of the gospel, but yet the simplicity of it and being able to turn it into a story that makes sense, where you can see the principles of what it looks like when you train up a child, and when they're older, they do not depart from it. What might that look like if that was put on you physically? How would that make sense if you could actually see that result? That's part of what I'm writing. And this week has not been easy. In fact, you've maybe not seen me much, my family, all kind of off and on over the past month and a half. Mm-hmm. Well, the most recent COVID version, it's been detriment to us. And we're fighting back now, thankfully. But through that, unfortunately, it's caused a lot of neurological issues with me. So if ever I come to church and I'm struggling and you hear me speak like this, that's not easy to do. That's what it'll do to me. It completely just shuts down all function. And this week, it was really bad. But through that, I'm going to tell you right now, as long as you are willing to step forward and continue in God's presence to do whatever it is that you can, he'll meet you there. And even though I was non-functional this week, I praise God because some of the things I was able to write down and do in this story project, all of God. My body was inept, but my mind, he had it, and he was able to work miracles through my fingertips, and I want to praise him for that. So thank you so much, and please do remember me in prayer because I can use it.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, with that, I guess we'll have closing hymn.